Let's look unto God one more time as we focus on God's Word this morning. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful time that You have given us to sit before Your Word. We pray that as we read Thy Word and try to understand, may the Spirit of God bring what the right message for us this morning so that we all may be blessed studying Thy Word this morning. Thank You, Father, for the leading of the Holy Spirit upon us this morning. Thank You, Father, for everything that with which You have blessed us, Father, this morning, and encourage us and guide us this morning. We ask in the most precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we were looking at the five times, you know, from Exodus to Leviticus chapter 5, where God called Moses unto Himself. And each time as we were looking, in the encounter, God is trying to convey a wonderful message about God Himself. And we have looked at a couple of the prior appearances. Today we will look at the third time that God called Moses unto Himself. So the passage for this morning's meditation is from Exodus chapter 19, and it covers from verse 10 to the last verse 25. So 10 to 25, Exodus 19, and there we have the third time that God called Moses unto Himself, and each time God revealed certain aspects of His his character, and he was given opportunities to understand the mind and will of God. And actually, what God was doing was God was preparing Moses so that God can fulfill His purpose through him. And along with that, you know, it's not only just focused on Moses, but it is also comes down to the people. So God, you know, conveys that to Moses, and Moses comes down to the people, and he conveys the message to the people. So it started the first time in chapter 3, where God revealed Himself to Moses for the first time, and in that encounter, God was emphasizing His holiness, His righteousness, His kindness. So God, Moses got a wonderful picture of who God is, and really understood what the message of God is for him. And as we continue, the second time, you know, it was not just limited to Moses, but it also included the people. God was continuing to convey that message. And the main theme was His principle, you know, the covenant that God wants to make with His people. And His desire for them was to make them a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. So God was conveying that message through Moses. Now we come to the third time. And as we notice here, you know, even though I say it's the third time, we see Moses going back and forth to the mount and talk to God. So actually, you know, there are a few encounters in between, but the focus that I am emphasizing here is in verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the mount for top of the mount, and Moses went up. So God, Lord called Moses. So that's the expression that I'm looking for, but there are other instances, you know, earlier, but now he was going up to the mount and having that conversation between God and Moses back and forth. So so this is the third time, and the emphasis here is the purity of God. Now, God wants to convey the purity of God. So he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, and how people can approach him, what are the limitations here, and what are the things that need to make sure that God could come down and fellowship with them. So, and here, God is going to, the primary purpose was God is going to give the commandments, right? So the following, the chapters, chapter 20 to 23 speaks about that, what God lays down before them. So prior to that, you know, God is preparing his people so that God can deliver these commandments. And also, we look at some of the characteristics of distinct characteristics of God's manifestation there, like the external manifestation, like thunders and lightnings and smoke and trumpet. So all those also has some connection with the tabernacle that God is going to show them in the next revelation. So it's kind of preparing the people so that, you know, God is eventually going to come down. God is going to dwell among them. But he wants to convey the message that, you know, God is a pure God. What are the things that they need to do straight so that God could come down and fellowship with God? So that's the main idea that God is trying to convey. As we go further, we can think about those from this portion. Now, this is just an outline of what we are going to look at from this portion. There are several things that have been emphasized in this passage. First of all, we see the sanctification. One thing that is greatly emphasized in this section is the need of sanctification that involves people, priest, and the place. And also talks about separation. They have separation between the camp and God. They have to set some boundaries there. Then also, there is that splendor of God's presence. Now, how God's presence is majestically manifested in this particular section. And also, I want to see this in contrast to the New Covenant in Hebrews chapter 12. So the supremacy of the New Covenant. So these are the things that we're just going to look at this morning. So first of all, the sanctification, verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So the first thing that we see here is, if God were to come down, if God were to come down and establish his residence among the people, they have to be sanctified. That's a key thing that God wants to convey through Moses to the people. They need to be sanctified. And not only the people, the priests, verse 22, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the people break forth upon them. So the priests are to be sanctified. And also the place, verse 23, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. So the place need to be sanctified. So see how the emphasis on the sanctification and the people, priest, and the place. So we have to think this, why God is emphasizing this here? Because God is eventually going to come down and dwell among them when the temple is going to be finished. The tabernacle is going to be built. So God wants them to understand that in order for God to come down, they need to be sanctified. They need to consecrate themselves. You know, it also involves us as believers to sanctify ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You know, it's not just applicable to the children of Israel because they are coming near the presence of God. It also applies to us in our spiritual life as we come into fellowship with God to keep ourselves, you know, sanctified, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And also, Apostle Peter talks about the New Testament priesthood, the believer's priesthood, in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he also says that, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that they may grow thereby." You know, set aside all malice and guile and envies and evil. So as he introduces to us the New Testament priesthood, also in the prior chapter, in chapter 1, he also says that be holy as God is holy. So as he about to introduce the topic of New Testament priesthood, he also emphasized the fact that we need to be sanctified, we need to be cleansed as we come and engaged in our priestly responsibilities. So priests need to be sanctified. And also, the place. Now, when you talk about the place in the New Testament, it's not so much about the physical place. It's the body of Christ. We are built together as a holy habitation. So it's not just the physical place that is in view here, but, you know, as a spiritual entity, as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So we are called as saints, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So obviously the believers in Corinth, they are sanctified, they are set apart. And so as the body of Christ as a whole need to be sanctified. So talk about the individual sanctification in relation to our priestly service, and also in terms of the place as the body of Christ. So that's something that God is really trying to convey to the people, that they need to sanctify themselves in order for God to come down and dwell among them. Now, and also talks about the sanctification. It says, verse 10, "Sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them walk." So today and tomorrow. So God gave them a time. It's not just a one day, one time exercise. God gave time for them to clearly, you know, look into their life and see where they have failed. And, you know, God wants them to get right. They want to continue that activity of sanctification. And that's what we need to do in our spiritual life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of Lord Jesus Christ." So, you know, the sanctification, it's not just a one-day exercise. It continues daily in our spiritual life. So God is trying to tell the children of Israel that, you know, today and tomorrow, so that you know they have sufficient time to go through and get right in the sight of God. It's a continuous process. And also talks about washing their clothes. Let them wash their clothes. It talks about what is external, what is can be their deeds or conduct, everything that is visible, external, that you know that need to be completely cleansed, that need to be completely washed. They need to wash their clothes. So most of the things that we see in the Old Testament is external, as we understand. And, you know, in terms of us as New Testament believers, you know, it applies to our spiritual life. And John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 8, the Lord says, there in the encounter of washing, there it says, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So, Lord Jesus Christ, He is washing the feet of disciples. He's trying to, you know, sanctify them. They are already saved. Peter said, you know, but the Lord is trying to convey that there are things that need to be right in the sight of God, and they need to be cleansed every day. Wash their clothes. And also, the Old Testament speaks about the effects, the efforts of man. No. Job chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands ever so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. It talks about human efforts to cleanse ourselves, to get right with God. It will fail us. And also Jeremiah 2:22, For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. So this is the glimpse of what man could do. Man's cleansing will be a failure in the sight of God. And every effort, you know, will not bring us to God, but we need something else. We need something else, and we will see that as we go later on into the book of Hebrews, where we will make a comparison here. So what we see here that all what man could do will be a failure of his self-righteous being right in the sight of God. And another thing that being emphasized is the separation between the camp and God, setting up boundaries. Verse 12 and 13 says, Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not leave. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So, setting boundaries. And, this is something that is important for us to consider. So, God initially told them to sanctify them. And, wash their clothes and be ready to meet God. But here it says that, you know, even if you do those things, there is a boundary. There is a line beyond which you cannot come near into the presence of God. So this is something contrast to verse 4, you know, in the prior section, where the Lord says that, you know, how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So this stands, you know, God is clearly putting a line in between the people and God, at in the earlier, it says that, you know, God carried them to bring it to myself. So here, you know, we see that the idea that even though God carried them, even though God was with them, God is distinct. He, you know, he cannot approach God in man's terms. No, it has to be according to God's term, and that will be more made more clear as we come into the New Testament. And the third thing that is that we see from verse 14 onwards is the splendor of God's presence, of God manifested Himself through this phenomenon, the thunders and lightnings, and we read about the thick cloud, the trumpet, and the smoke, and the mount quaked greatly. So we see all these things, the manifestation of all this when God came down in the midst of them. It's a very fearful situation there, and the people, they were afraid, and even Moses, he was afraid being in the presence of God. And that's the distinctive manifestation of God when he comes down upon that mount. And that's the message there is, I believe, you know, God wants to want to manifest these features as we go into the next section. The fourth time when God appears, it will be more made clear. We see that some of these manifestations is associated with the tabernacle when God eventually would come down and dwell among them. So God is giving a little preview of what He's going to do. Eventually He's going to come and dwell among them, and it's not a light thing for them to, you know, come into the presence of God. There is a separation. They need sanctification, and they need to be aware of all these things. And Bilson was able to give an illustration of what we see in verse 18 and verse 21 about what would be like, you know, if we could visualize the coming of the Lord, the coming of God there on the mount. And verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord and gaze, and many of them perish. So it was a very unique sight, and they were not able to behold that, and God doesn't want them to look at that manifestation there. Now when we come to the last section, I want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 18 onwards to the end of the chapter, we see that contrast. Verses 18 to 21 talks about what we were considering this morning. It says, "Fear ye not." "For ye fear are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and trumpet, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken unto them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so, such a beast touch the mount, it shall be stoned or thrust through with dart." So this is what was happening there as God was, you know, revealing Himself to Moses and people. they were not allowed to come into the nearness of God. There was there was that blackness, the fire and the trumpet, and people, they were afraid, they were fearful. But verses 22 to 29 is the contrast, talking about the new covenant, the believers, we who are saved by the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ. But ye are come. So, as far as the children of Israel were concerned, they could not come. They were not allowed. There was separation. With all their effort to sanctify themselves and with cleansing their clothes and everything, God said, ye cannot approach. Ye cannot come. And they were not even able to look at that and leave. But here, it says that ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And we are come. God has removed that partition. God has removed that wall, the separation. And we see that it is all because of our mediator. Here we have the added information about Moses. It says Moses was exceedingly fearful and quick. So he was fearful. Even Moses was afraid by seeing that sight of God. But the contrast is we have this mediator, Jesus Christ of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's see some of the distinctions here. If you look at what happened on the Mount of Sinai, on the left column, what we see is that the attention is on the dreadfulness of the place. Now, God displays that majesty of His presence, and there was dreadfulness. And the place was unapproachable. They were not able to come. And the message was, do not come near. And even Moses was exceedingly fearful at that sight. You know, even that mediator who was standing between God and people, he was extremely fearful of that sight. But on the other side, concerning the new covenant, the attention is on those who are associated with the place rather than the dreadfulness of the place. It talks about the people. You know, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem, to the company of angels and the church of the firstborn, and unto God Himself. Now, it's not describing how dreadful the place is, but it's describing the company into which we are going to enjoy the fellowship with God. The place is approachable. It says, ye are come, verse 22, but ye are come. There is no boundary. There is no restriction. Ye are come. The place is approachable. It's only because of Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the mediator between God and man. And we are guaranteed of our standing in the presence of God because of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. That better blood, the blood that removes all the filth from our life, all the sin is forgiven because of that precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of God's purity should produce godly fear and reverence in us as we serve Him faithfully. It talks about verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And it ends verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. So let's not forget the picture that we see in the Old Testament. Even we are given the access to come into the presence of God, even when we enjoy the full enjoyment of fellowship with God, let's not forget that God is same. God has not changed. No, God manifested to His people and they were dreadful and afraid. We are not afraid, but God is same. We are able to stand before Him because the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a consuming fire. He can consume us in an instant. But thank God that we can stand in the presence of the same God. And when the children of Israel were afraid, and even Moses were afraid before this God who revealed Himself to them, thank God that we can stand before the same God and enjoy this wonderful fellowship with Him. And it's all because of Lord Jesus Christ. And let us enjoy being in the presence of God. Let us enjoy worshiping Him as He has given us the opportunity to be the priest, to engage in worship with our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us understand the purity of God. Let us understand how we should come into the presence of God. God wants to keep us the same standard of sanctification and separation as we come into the presence of God. It's a wonderful thing for us to come into the very presence of God. When the Old Testament saints or children of Israel, they were not able to come into the presence of God, God has opened the door for us. Let us enjoy being in the presence of God. And also as we go through this, certain things in view here. God wants to fulfill certain purposes. When we look at the first revelation in chapter 3, when God revealed Himself to Moses, it was a revelation of His person. And there we see what He displayed. And the purpose was commissioning Moses. Moses was called there and given a great responsibility. So we read about the commission there. And the second time, earlier in this chapter 19, when He revealed His principle, He says, He declares what He demands. And the theme there was the covenant. They were supposed to keep the covenant. They were supposed to obey God's voice and keep the covenant, and so that they could be a peculiar treasure. They could be a kingdom of priests. They could be a holy nation. So that was in view. But we come to the third in this portion. He's revealing His purity, and it talks about what He dictates. And what is in view here is the commandment. So as Moses was interacting with God, the interaction continues. And after this, right away, God is going to give them the commandments. He's going to give them laws and ordinances, the couple of chapters following this. And that is in view. And if you look at what the law and the ordinances, we can summarize it as sanctification. So there are instructions for them to be separate, and they need to be separate themselves. Right? There are certain things they should not do. There are boundaries they cannot cross. So we have to view this in terms of the commandment that God is going to give. So God is preparing them and telling them that you need to sanctify, need to separate yourselves, you need to see how holy God is, and because God is going to give them the commandments. And what the commandments, the expectation of the commandments is, they need to be separate, they need to sanctify, they need to understand who God is. The fourth and fifth we'll see the next time as we go there. But to summarize what the purpose of God's revelation in this third time we see that what God dictated through the sanctification and separation was what he expected of the people by keeping the commandments that he was going to give them in the third encounter with Moses. So God is saying that they're going to give these commandments. And what is expected of them is to adhere to that. They need to sanctify themselves. They need to keep those laws. They need to separate themselves. There are certain things they're not supposed to do and abstain from certain things. And that's what God is telling them. And also, what God displayed through his glory here and also continues in chapter 24 the next time. He is expressing God's glory, and that's going to be attached to the sanctuary, to the tabernacle, right? So we'll see some of this in the tabernacle as well. Exodus 40 verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So what they saw here is going to be manifested in the tabernacle. So it tells them that, you know, God is pure, God is holy. And as they continue to have this fellowship with God, they need to be aware of God's standards of purity and what that's going to manifest to the children of Israel as he continues to, you know, speak through Moses and conveying this wonderful message. So as far as we are concerned, let's understand the purity of God. Let's understand what God requires from us. You know, God is same. He's a consuming fire. And we are given this great privilege to come into the very presence of God. The same God, once people were denied, but here we are enjoying the presence of this great God. Let us understand and keep that sanctification. His standards are same. His commandments, you know, he did not deviate any of his commandments. But still, God expects to keep that sanctification, but we are enabled because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator through which we can come into the presence of God. May God bless us.